I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
I see dead people.
You are now listening to the Bullseye Podcast, brought to you by AFI Advisors. Sit back, get comfy, and keep all arms and legs inside the vehicle when in motion. And now, here is Josh, Peter, and Brian.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bullseye Podcast, brought to you by AFI Advisors. I know that you can't see us right now, but we are pretty darn cozy in this fancy little podcast room. We got the fire going. Peter is sitting directly beside the fire. He's done nothing but complain about it.
It's extremely hot and noisy in my head.
He's just...
This TV is emitting heat. Yeah. I'm sure I'm getting cancer as we speak.
So if you've not figured it out, the fire is on the television. But it's really nice. It's very peaceful. It's totally a vibe. And I thought that we were giving Peter, like, the prime time, like, you know, the king of the castle chair right by the fire, and he's done nothing.
Well, imagine how much he would have complained had he not had that. I've never seen Josh set the mood in the office and no one complain.
That's true.
I do get a lot of complaints about that. Oh, well. Someone's got to do it. Well, this is Josh Shores. I'm here with Peter Raber and Brian Brummett. Peter came with his Gatorade. Brian busted open his Fanta when he walked through the door, true to himself. And I'm drinking coffee, so we're pretty on point. This is us.
I'm like, trying to drink less carbonated drinks.
What flavor Gatorade is that? That's a weird color.
So this is Frost Arctic Blast.
Frost. I don't think I've had that one. Arctic Blast.
Otherwise known as teal color, which is not a flavor. So when people say, what flavor are you drinking? And you say a color, you're doing it wrong.
I always say a color.
I always think of that Office episode. It's like, what flavor is that? It's blue. That's not a flavor. Glacial blue. Oh, okay. I'll take that.
Glacial.
What the hell did you just say?
Something like
glacier.
That.
Glacier.
Brian, glacials.
Listen,
that's
you
a word.
Shouldn't know sports drinks either, so it's okay.
Yeah, trying to drink less carbonated things, so we're going to Gatorade.
That's probably
today.
A great
overall
idea.
Overall, a good thing. Yeah,
but see, I grew up in an era where sports drinks kind of came of age, and there were few of them, like three or four colors. Gatorade was like red, orange, yellow, or lime, or
right.
Mm-hmm. And
yellow, orange, and red were the first, I think,
it,
three.
Do you all, was there
I mean, because
clear,
it came out of Florida.
There is a clear, one? There is clear a clear one.
It's Gatorade for the Florida Gators. The
yeah,
scientists
yeah.
down in Florida for the school came up with Gatorade.
Because it's helping replace electrolytes and all of that, too, for
sure
sweat.
It is. For us high you know, functioning athletes that need the electrolyte replacement as we sit at our desks.
Dude, listen.
There's a lot of brain power going on.
I've been on the baseball field for 2 weeks now, and I'm hurting in places that I've not hurt in a very long time. And I'm also
Welcome
drinking a
life.
Lot of Gatorade.
Welcome to my life.
But I'm still the guy.
Now, how
you
did
want
you
red
get involved
you
in this, Josh?
With what?
The baseball.
Oh, well,
with
my...
The baseball.
The baseball. My son decided to sign up for Little League this year, which I was really excited about, and they needed a coach. So I put it off, and I put it off, and I put it off because Lord knows I need something else in my schedule to have responsibility over. But I ended up taking it. So now I'm a professional manager of a baseball team. It reminds me of that scene in Step Brothers where they're all sitting at the table when they first introduce Dale and Brennan to one another. They're having dinner at the table, eating chicken nuggets, fancy sauce. But she asks what he does for a living. He says something to the tune of...
Well, I manage a baseball team.
Little League?
Fantasy league.
That's kind of how I
this
feel
now. This
could
be like your first step to being like big time, though.
Yeah.
You could be over like a college team mm-hmm. here in a few years.
Yeah, probably not, but that's okay. I'm not going to quit my day job.
We are in that season where baseball dominates my life. So we had two games on Saturday. We had a game on Monday. We had practice on Tuesday. There's practice tonight that we're not going to because my family's going to the Harlem Globetrotters tonight in Johnson City. And then we've got a tournament again this weekend and then next 3 weekends after it. So we are in that season when,
I always forget about the Harlem Globetrotters. I forget about them.
We went a long time ago when Ben and Ian were little and Henry came too and didn't think about it. It was a fun event last time we went, but Ben and Ian, through YouTube Kids, got really into the Harlem Globetrotters, kind of like, I guess, Dude Perfect or any of the other things. And so they've been begging to go. So we're trotting over to Johnson City, to Freedom Hall, and we'll watch them beat the Generals for the billionth time and get to see all the skills and whatnot.
But the Generals have won twice. Ever, right?
It's something like that. Once or twice. Yeah. It was in the beginning.
Do you just know that?
Yeah, that's my sports knowledge. It might be wrong.
Out of all of the sports things you could know, you know that?
Very specialized in my sports knowledge.
Now I'm looking it up.
Yeah,
because I need to know.
For this. Well, let's take a brief moment to hear a message from our sponsors. Welcome back. That was a brief message from our sponsors. Thank you for holding.
Yeah, I think it's only the once or twice early on and when they actually were thinking that they were going to treat it serious, and then once it became
how do you treat that serious?
Well, early on, the history of the Globetrotters is not my speciality, but as they were trying to decide kind of how do we do this whole thing, they were treating them like real basketball games as opposed to exhibitions of skill. And so the modern iteration of the Harlem Globetrotters is the Savannah Bananas in the baseball world. And one of the biggest differences between the two is Savannah Bananas can lose, right? So they play against the Party Animals, which is the equivalent of the Generals for the Harlem Globetrotters. But it's not a guarantee that they're going to win. It's a real game each time you play, which is, I think, one of the reasons why they're selling out Major League Baseball stadiums now.
That's awesome.
Could you imagine being the team that plays the Globetrotters, knowing that you're literally just there to just be demolished by them, and every night you got to show up? And
I feel bad for the ones with kids that show up and they're like, "No, I had to lose.
No
one's the goal.
No one's cheering for them. No one wants to see them do well. You're literally there to just be beaten."
Josh, you want to go with me tonight? We'll root for the Generals. Really cheer them on.
How fast can I get a Generals jersey?
Yeah, right.
So it varies between 3 and 6 wins, and one of those wins, apparently the Globetrotters lost track of the game, and they forgot they were supposed to be, winning, and they just couldn't rally in time. So, yeah.
Poor coaching. Let's do a little shift here. We've got something exciting coming up in May. We are finally going to dedicate this building and have a ribbon cutting, where we'll make it official.
You get to like break a glass over,
put a
it
ring
or
on it. Yeah, no, can we break a glass off the roof or something?
Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
I mean, we do have naval background, so
yeah,
it might be that. But I'm not part of this planning process, so I will
we'll
be
add
there.
It. We'll add it in there.
If you heard that like I did, I essentially heard him say, "You can do whatever
you can do whatever
you
want with this." Yeah,
it's on you to make it an amazing event or not, and then suffer the consequences.
Well, we want
christening the building seems
important. Yeah, we want everyone to come out and join us. That's going to be on May 16th at 4:30. That's a Thursday, but we're going to have food and beverages and try to have some games. We'll have door prizes that I'm still collecting. I'm trying to make that kind of fun. So we'll have some fun door prizes. Everybody will leave with something.
It's quite a few people already RSVP'd.
Yeah, we've got about 40 or so that have reached out and said that they were going to come by. So,
yeah, and unlike the Lunch and Learn, this is super informal. So the more the merrier. And, absolutely. You don't have to be there right at. So if you can make it even afterwards, just come by and and hang out, have some fun, see the building.
And I've been asked this numerous times. You can dress however. You don't have to wear business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, come as you are. That's a David Crowder song, Come As You Are. Anyways. Yeah, we will have hopefully a good turnout and a good weather day that day, because we're wanting to spend some time outside, back patio and up on the rooftop. And don't think we'll have furniture up there, but we can still hang out up there and, you
we
know,
might. Stand we're, and we're working on it. I found some stuff the other day, maybe.
Okay.
I have to get the approval from the boss.
Just look over. We'll at least be able to just look over all of Colonial Heights.
There you go. Yeah.
We can do the actual ribbon cutting up there for everybody to see, potentially.
Yeah,
or
we could do that.
Although I did have a suggestion out of a client, and I'm not opposed to it, that instead of a ribbon cutting with giant scissors, that we cut it with lightsabers.
Oh,
and
yeah?
I'm not opposed to that.
Before we lose track, yes, May 16th, Thursday, May 16th, 4:30 p.m. Just come, hang out, have some food, have some drinks, socialize, play some games, win some cool door prizes. Who would not want to do that? That sounds like loads of fun. I know that no one else has anything to do on a Thursday at 4:30 p.m., right? Right.
Yeah.
Next in line, we have Brouhaha coming up.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. This is April 18th. So by the time you are listening to this, we've had the event.
And how'd it go, Josh? Did it go well?
I'm predicting that it went excellent. There were minimal issues. Everything ran smoothly. We had more than enough help. It was just great. This event has steadily grown for the chamber over the past several years.
It was a lot bigger last year.
Well, yeah,
than it
we,
was
were,
the year before,
we were
for sure.
We were at about, I think, 520 folks last year, and current count, I think, is around 720 tickets this year. That's insane. So we've had to open up the whole auditorium there at MetaView. So should be fun. Good night of free pizza. Several free beer vendors are there. Have three comedians coming in. Going to entertain for the evening. So going to do some judging on some pizza. It's just a fun time. It's a really fun time. It's a lot of work. Brian, what did you volunteer to help with?
So this year I decided to help from a distance.
In spirit.
See, Peter, you'll get this. The problem is they ask me in the middle of tax season if I want to volunteer for something. I understand it's right after tax season, but at that point, I'm not willing to take anything extra on.
I get that.
Yeah.
Peter's not paying attention.
No,
he just upgraded to the iPhone 30
he's
Plus.
Pulling his new contacts well, over.
I was looking up who the comedians are. Oh. So I was trying to be helpful. I did just upgrade. My phone had stopped charging on its own. Like, you'd plug it in and it wouldn't work. So I did switch out to the 15. I'm still trying to get used to it.
Yeah, what are those comedian names?
So you got Ryan Cox, Brian Moot or Moat, depending upon how he pronounces it. It's M-O-O-T-E. I'm guessing Moot.
Moot.
And then Mike Spielberg?
Spielberg.
S-P-E-E-N-B-E-R-G. So Spielberg.
Spielberg. Well, with names like that, you'd have to be funny, wouldn't you?
I've not heard of any of them, but I am supporting this event by the fact that I'm going.
Oh, you're going to be there tomorrow?
Yeah, so I'll be there. My wife will be there, and then friends of ours are coming with us.
That's cool.
There's going to be a Peter sighting
out in the wild. Yeah,
Peter in the wild.
As someone who grew up with that name, you got to be careful when you say it that way.
Don't Google that.
Yeah, don't Google that. But it should be good.
Well, hey, listen, if you guys went to Brouhaha and you had a good time, email us at connect@afiadvisors.com. I want to know. You're probably wondering, well, why does Josh want to know if this is a chamber event? Well, I work with the ambassadors over there, so that's the connection. I didn't want people to get confused by that. I will say I was told we had an eclipse.
It was definitely dark during the
I didn't
eclipse.
See it.
It was dark before and after also.
Everyone was terribly disappointed in the eclipse.
It was awful. It rained. Yeah. It was cloudy. Now, you know, Peter's I know like, people who went to other places. If you want to go.
You can go stand in the rain. I'll give you permission.
I mean, about as close as I got is I listened to Total Eclipse of the Heart, and there that was go. About it. There was a feel-good story that came out of the eclipse that I'll share, at least because it's the best thing that I saw come out of it. There was a teacher who, since like the 1950s, had been telling his classes, and he was a science teacher, awesome. That he was going to hold a watch party next time the eclipse. And they were like, that's 50 years from now, you know. But he would tell every class every year that he was going to do it. And then it turned into this huge thing, and hundreds of people showed up for this guy's watch party and kind of showed his impact in the community. And they were like, we almost missed the eclipse because everybody was just getting together and awesome. Doing that whole thing. But that's about the only good thing that came out of the eclipse. We're past that day and age where we're like, oh, the crops are going to all die because the gods are displeased with us and have blotted out the mm-hmm. sun. So,
well, I'm not quite there yet. I was a little concerned about that, but...
Do you want to hear a funny eclipse story from me? Okay. This is true. I'm embarrassed, but it's true. But we're vulnerable here. We like to air it all out, right? So I really don't care too much about the eclipse. I mean, I don't want to say I don't care. It's just not really on my radar. So I was one of those people last minute thinking, oh, well, I maybe need to get some of these eclipse glasses, right? Because you got to have these certain ones. And they're all sold out everywhere, and you can't, like, if you order them, it's going to take 2 weeks. And I'm like, well, that makes no sense. So I went looking on Facebook Marketplace.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. And I was doing it. You know, I was getting desperate at this point, and I was halfway through scrolling, and I was like, well... I don't know if this is the type of item you need to buy used off of Facebook Marketplace when it comes to burning and singeing your eyeballs out. So I stopped myself, but later, you know, was able to laugh at it. It was...
told me about that at the time. It was funny.
Did I tell you that?
Yeah, you did.
I was so embarrassed. I was like, what an idiot.
At least you didn't get them and like, yeah, now I can't see out of my left eye anymore.
Well, the last eclipse in 2017, like... Yeah. People freaked out over those glasses. Yeah. So I'll give you the pass on it.
Now, that one was more fun. We actually got to go outside. It wasn't a full eclipse in 2017 here.
Right.
But we got to go outside and all the animals stopped making noise and everything for a little bit. Yeah, it was neat.
Yeah.
Why did the animals stop?
I didn't care about it in 2017 either. But
no. Yeah. Why did the animals stop making noise?
I don't know. They just kind of get freaked out in the middle of the day when the sun stops for a few minutes. It was cool, though. No, we went outside and watched that, and it was a lot better than this last one.
Well, I hope the next one's better.
They need to schedule it when it's not raining and stuff. Yeah,
we need to talk to whomever whoever's over these eclipses. It's not working out too well for Tennessee. Mm-mm. You can see these cool pictures all over the place, but we get the shaft, whoever's making that.
I blame Neil Tyson Degrassi. Yeah. I think he needs to come on our podcast and explain himself on why we got
Neil, we're hashtagging you on this. We want you in here. You got a lot of splaining to do.
It's been a little while since we've called out a celebrity. So, we still are working on Dolly. But Neil, you're next in the crosshairs.
Everybody's like, how are y'all going to get famous? Well...
We're just riding coattails.
We're just going to call people out, and we're either going to like praise them or criticize them, one of the two, and it's going to work.
One of these days.
let's take a different approach here.
Oh, the real reason we're here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's calm down. We're getting a little too giggly in here. This is finance isn't supposed to be fun. This isn't supposed to be fun. Let's bring it down. Brian, you had sent me... an article that was really interesting. I know that you had printed off kind of the statistics on it, but talking about what percentage of Americans own stocks. And obviously, this is something that's very relevant. I want to clarify, this could be an individual stock, a stock mutual fund, or in a self-directed 401k or an IRA. So that's kind of the ballpark we're playing in. But so... I was really interested to see this because I think that I was surprised with the overall just yes or no.
Yeah. Was it 61% of U.S. adults do own stocks, mutual funds, self-directed
and retirement accounts. 38% do not. And I was surprised because I thought 61% was a little high. I thought that was going to be lower than that.
That's interesting.
I know.
Yeah.
And I don't have a reason why. It's just...
There's definitely been an increase in job-based stock ownership. So there has been kind of, instead of having to enroll in retirement plans, you're automatically enrolled in retirement plans and have to opt out. You know, there's been some changes like that, which have forced that on people. There's also been the shift from pension plans being like a defined benefit to a defined contribution. So if you were working for a company for 20 years and you get X amount of dollars per month for the rest of your life, that's not owning stock. But if you had put that money in your own 401k, bought stock, and then so there has been that shift.
And it's easier and easier to have stocks. When I was talking at Westridge High School and the kids were asking me about specific stocks, half of them pulled up their phone and were on their brokerage account. So it's just general ease of being able to do it now.
The whole Robin Hood.
Yeah.
And then also within that, the commissions to buy stocks and the ability to buy single shares of stocks or even fractional shares for some of these people is dramatically different. So I remember when I first started working in the industry, our trade commission to pay the broker to buy the stock was either, it was one of two things. It was either based upon the overall size of the order,
mm-hmm.
or there was a flat fee. And so it depended, like if you were buying X number of shares, it'd be better to do it as a commission versus one type of commission or another. But just the flat fee to buy it was roughly $120.
So, and that worked down to $7 by the time I started.
Right. And now we're at zero.
Zero. Yeah.
And so if you were going to buy a $40 stock and you only had the ability to buy, let's say, 5 shares, so $200, then you're spending another $120 in commission. That shift...
Which means that stock has to go up 50% just for you to break even.
Right.
50-some percent. But yeah, just to break even.
So that, and then you have to pay it on the way out, too.
So you have to double it just to break even.
Just to break even. So that type thing has gone away. So we definitely have a system now that is more stock ownership friendly. And we're also in a position where, you know, one of the biggest themes going forward is this wealth transfer from the greatest generation and baby boomers down to, you know, subsequent generations. And those demographics owned more stock than their parents did.
Right.
So they're passing down stock where you didn't used to pass down, you know, in the same way.
And that is interesting because as we're looking at the different demographics here, from 30 to 65, most people own 63 to 67% of people own stocks during those age groups. So the 18 to 29 year olds that have that dip down to about 41%. So that does make sense. As the older ones roll off, those younger ones will get
right
stocks.
And the younger ones don't have the disposable income often right. to be able to purchase. But like I said, a lot of them now are going into jobs where they immediately get stock ownership.
Right.
But we're also now in a situation, I know it's not directly related, but people don't stay with the same job as long anymore. So some of those people aren't qualifying for the retirement plans offered by their employers. But it's nothing to jump jobs now every 1.5, 2 years, whereas that used to be really frowned upon.
Yeah.
I think there's two things that really stick out to me. And this is some really good information. Just so everyone knows, you know, this is broken down by annual household income, education, age, race, gender, party identification, marital status. So the two things that really stick out to me are, one, that the women have a higher percentage of yes than the men.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of surprising to me because I've said numerous times that I think historically within this kind of space of wealth and stocks and trading that it's been a very masculine driven industry. So it's kind of neat to see that women are actually, now of course it's not like a landslide, it's 62% women, 59 men, but
and I'd say that's actually fairly accurate compared to what I see here. it's a lot of times the females are the ones that come in and have a better idea of what they want, and oftentimes are the financial people of their family now.
There's a number of reasons, and one of the reasons I was so excited that we were able to hire Kaylee is her perspective as a woman and her perspective in dealing with clients from the female perspective. But I've always viewed wealth as female control driven for a number of reasons. One, it's not always, you know, the male who outlives the money, right? We're dumb, so we die early. Right. You know, life expectancy plays out that way. So especially as you get into the older ages and the retirees and everything else, it's not uncommon for our clients to be, well, my husband passed away, and now as a widow, that's the only person within the family right. to deal with the money. The other thing is I've always counted joint accounts and joint account relationships for Aldebaran as female driven, because guys, you can upset in certain ways because, oh, I didn't do this right or I didn't do that right. Women tend to be either a little less forgiving in those and more willing to make a change. So our industry has done a very poor job, I think, throughout its history in talking to women. And
100%,
so,
yeah.
You know, one of the things I always try to do when I'm working with a couple is, like, I've talked with so many situations where we've gotten accounts just because I actually talked to the female in the situation rather than just talking to the male. And so, and they often have differing investment goals. And
sometimes they hadn't even talked about this stuff. A lot of times they haven't even talked about it with each other.
Oh, this is a conversation that you guys need to go to a therapist about. I guess I'm your therapist of the day has happened a number of times.
But it's also the ability, like you were saying, women will be the ones that stop and ask for directions if they feel like they're lost. Men will just kind of go on through and try to seem like they know what they're talking about even when they don't. And so a lot of times when I'm working with the two of them, the women are the ones that, like you were saying, are more willing to make changes based off of what's going on as opposed to their own views of what's going on.
Right. I think that's accurate. And obviously all this is generalities.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's individual specific situation is their own, but it does play
out. And that's very
out.
Anecdotal, but yeah. Still, yeah.
So I think it makes sense that women have more stock ownership.
If you are upset by anything that was just said, please email Brian at brian@afiadvisors.com.
And copy Robert for compliance.
Because I'll be copying him when I reply.
The second thing that stood out to me on this list is also the party identification, because it shows that, you know, Republicans and Democrats are both right there around the same percentage. And that kind of surprised me a little bit, because I feel like there's a lot of glaring differences between those two parties. And I feel like one of them has to do with the management of money and how we get money, how we distribute money, things of that nature.
Yeah.
What we do with our money.
Republicans have typically been associated more so with economic topics,
right?
Especially in their voting patterns.
Yeah. So I guess I was surprised to see. I mean, their neck is 66 Republicans, 66% Republicans, 64% Democrats.
Independents are the ones that really need to pull themselves up a little bit. They're at 55%.
You know, we talked about that early on, before we went on air, and since then I have had a thought. Independents are also going to be a little bit more likely, in my own mind, you know, of owning other assets other than stocks. So real estate ventures, being an entrepreneur, some of those things that maybe don't align with the traditional systems of America. Independents, libertarians, that whole kind of cohort, there's a reason why they hold the beliefs that they do.
Yeah.
And they want to be, you know, aligned with that and how they use their money. So I think that could play into that a little bit.
Because
it also
a lot
could
of,
be that they're just wishy washy.
A lot of
and
your independents are these kind of third party kind of walk ins, ride ins, like things. So that makes sense. I'm glad you said that. I wasn't thinking about it like that. That does make sense, though.
I will say that as a society and as a culture, we have forced our population into stock ownership to provide for their families in retirement and long term. It's one of the biggest reasons we do what we do.
Yeah.
And it is so confusing for a lot of people. But without the defined benefits of the world of, hey, I worked in a union for 20 years and they're going to take care of me for the rest of my life, there's not a lot of other assets that you can get into with such a low barrier to entry to then provide for yourself and your family in retirement.
Yeah, that's very true.
So if you're in the opposite sides of these stats, you know, there's a reason why people are doing these things. And, you know, that would be a place where even in the lower income brackets, which obviously have lower stock ownership, for a lot of families who are in that situation, it just takes one generation to flip it. But it takes a sacrifice by that generation of, I am going to invest, I am going to do these things so that the next generation is inheriting wealth, and then that builds on itself. But you're taking a low discretionary income and making it even lower.
Yeah, if you're having a difficult time making payments already, putting some aside could be impossible for some people.
Well,
or at least very, very difficult.
Well, and kind of to that point, 78% of Americans in a survey done by Payroll are living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
So there's a new expression that I kind of like lately is, you're not living paycheck to paycheck, you're living vacation to pet emergency.
Yeah.
You know, with the concept of, well, we're maybe a little bit better off than paycheck to paycheck, but if we want anything extra or if we have any emergencies,
we're back to,
we're able to kind of cover it, but not, you know. And so I do think there's a shift there. And so the people who are owning stocks are avoiding some of that.
Yeah. And setting themselves up to avoid even more of it later.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we can absolutely talk more about this in the future. We're running up toward the tail end here, but I do know we had one other thing, Peter, that we wanted to discuss, and that was the new W-4 system with taxes. It's came out of the gate like gold. Everyone loves it. Wait, is that the?
So it's awful.
Oh, okay.
It's really, really bad.
So there's a couple things that I really wanted to highlight with the W-4s, and because we've now been through two tax cycles with the new W-4, and we have had more returns that we've prepared internally than ever before, where we're having people owe taxes at tax time. And the question is, well, did my taxes go up or did I not withhold enough? And a large, large percentage of it is I didn't withhold enough, and it's based upon the W-4 form. So we're very lucky, I think, here in this office, in that anybody in the office can come to me and say, hey, withhold 12%. I don't use a W-4. A W-4 is not a legally binding document in any form or fashion. It's a thing that you're giving your employer to help them determine how much to withhold from your paycheck. And if you don't fill it out right, it's a huge problem. And so they updated the W-4 with the Trump tax cuts in an effort to simplify it. And a good example, you know, there's ways, if you go down through it and truly fill it out, you can really, you know, get exactly what you need, but you still need to follow up with your HR department and say, based upon this W-4, how much are you going to withhold from my paycheck?
Right.
But the example I would give is, let's say you have a two-income family, and one member of the family is making $100,000, and the other member of the family goes and gets a $30,000 job. And you have prototypical family, let's say it's two kids underneath the age of 17. So you fill out your W-4, and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to file married filing jointly, and I've got two kids under 17. Well, the child tax credit is $4,000. And your standard deduction for married filing jointly is $27,900. So if you're making $30,000, there's a potential that your employer would withhold zero. because they don't know what you're making outside of that. Now, there is a place in here for other income. And you really, but a lot of people don't feel comfortable giving that information to their employer. You know, my spouse is making X, because they feel like it might be either held against them, or it might, their husband is making X, or their wife is making X. I can, you know, maybe not give them a raise when I give so-and-so a raise. Mm-hmm. And so there's some hesitancy from a privacy standpoint.
Or just put a really low amount, and they'll be like, oh, I should give him a raise. Then they're probably
too. Yeah, but then you owe money at the end of the year in taxes. Yeah.
Right. Right. And then, you know, the way it works too, if you don't update this thing, and let's say you've got a kid who is 16 when you're hired and you turn in your W-4 and then becomes 17, that child tax credit drops from $2,000 to $500. So now all of a sudden, maybe you have $1,500 that you're no longer withholding. And so I just wanted to really emphasize the fact that it's really important, once you fill out the W-4, to go to your employer and say, what does this mean you're going to withhold from my paycheck? And there's places to add extra amounts to be withheld. And we will help you fill out a mm-hmm. W-4 if you have this problem. But like I said, it's not a legally binding document to the point that you have to answer it truthfully, right? You have to play the game that we have in front of us and manipulate the system. So if you want more money back, if you're used to getting a refund, maybe you put you have no children, so they don't count that against you and how much they're going to withhold.
Or tell them you want an extra $100 withheld each paycheck or whatever. Right. Yeah.
And so, or maybe you say you're single.
Yeah.
You know, so, they're going to base it upon having only $12,000 or 13, it's 12, seven or whatever that number is this year. But especially for married filing jointly or even married filing separately, it's really important to calculate what your spouse's income is going to do. So I had a number of W-2s this year that withheld 2-3%. Mm-hmm. The bottom tax bracket's 10. So any dollar that you make over the, you know, limits, you know, you're taxed at 10%. And taxes are going potentially up in, mm-hmm. you know, 2 years. So I just wanted to touch on that a little bit, in that the W-4 stays between you and your employer, and you may think you've gotten a raise these last 2 years, but end up paying money in taxes, and it's because they stopped withholding what they used to on your paycheck.
Right.
So your take-home pay increased, and you're like, oh, great, I got a raise. You maybe didn't, and maybe it's just that they under-withheld on taxes, which then you could be paying a penalty come tax time. So not only do you owe what you didn't withhold, but because you didn't withhold enough, there's a penalty for that. And so if you're outside certain margins of, you know, what the previous year's taxes were, that can be a problem. Now, you can also do estimated tax payments outside of the W-4. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of things that this new form, they tried to simplify it, and they made it to where there's a high likelihood that you're not withholding enough.
Yep.
And every tax preparer that I've talked to has these same complaints. I was talking to one the other night at an event for Boy Scouts, and it's the same thing everywhere. It's not just, and I'm seeing even down to like the TikTok level and everything else. It's like, why are my taxes going up? Your taxes didn't change the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, especially if your income went up and then your withholding fell.
Yeah.
You're going to owe taxes. So it's really important. I wanted to touch on it just real briefly. And yeah, if anybody absolutely. Has problems with what they saw in their tax return this year, especially if you did it yourself or don't have a tax preparer who, you know, looks at your situation, they just plug in the numbers that they give you, come by, you know, we'll have that conversation. And mm-hmm. because it's not going to change. Now, what does hurt is then when I tell somebody you were withholding 4, you really need to be withholding 15, which I've seen. Okay, well, I've got to now take $200 more out of my paycheck each, you know, month.
Right.
And it's like, I got used to having that much extra in my, and then they get hit. And, you know, same type of thing. How many Americans can't do a $1,000 emergency? The government really doesn't care. Well, they want their
so
money.
So it can. It's obviously something that can easily turn into a huge mess.
Huge mess.
Yeah. That almost. And has. Yeah. That almost is. I don't want to say impossible, but it's just a very daunting task to get back ahead of.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's so many repercussions, you know, down the line with all that. So it's definitely something you want to figure out on the front end rather than finding out on the back end. So absolutely, if anyone has questions about that, please reach out, and we'd be happy to look that over with you. I sure do appreciate everyone listening. This is some good stuff today, especially the W4 stuff. So go follow us on all of our social media channels. Check us out at AFIadvisors.com. If you have any questions or want to sit down and chat about any of these things, just email us at connect@AFIadvisors.com. Until then, we'll catch you next time. Thanks, guys.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bullseye Podcast. Do you want to sponsor the show or maybe even be a guest? Contact us at connect@AFIadvisors.com to get the conversation started. Thank you for all of the continued support.